The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Oh my goodness, it's Expository Thursday. That's cool. And we discover what the Apostle Paul's spiritual gift was. Also, what did God entrust you with personally and specifically? And finally, when God entrusted you, are you recognizing that it's not for you, but for others?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during this show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Ha ha ha! Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You'll get the chance. This is your opportunity. It's 10 numbers. You can do it. I know it's a phone, but it will not bite you. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic, of course, is open for conversation, prayer requests, or praise reports. You know we're going to be doing trivia. Just keep in mind, it's not professional radio, so don't worry about how you sound or how it comes off. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First and foremost, let me tell you, as it is going on right now live in this studio, there is the fabulous, wonderful, fantastic, incredibly awesome best friend in the universe, Mrs. Spoon, is in the studio. So, you know, all of my gestures I have to be really careful with. I have to make sure everything is just super good. I do everything right. So with that in mind, let's go into the most important element. I came across something that is relatively important about today and today's holiday. Let me ask just real quickly Wonder Julia if she knows any of the holidays today. There's three simple ones kind of gearing towards Thanksgiving, and then one I've never heard of.
Please tell.
Okay. First one is National Gingerbread Cookie Day.
All right. I'll take it.
Right? Not bad. Second one is National Stuffing Day, connected with National Pumpkin Pie Day as we get towards Thanksgiving.
Okay. Like, love me some stuffing. Love me some pumpkin pie.
So you are 3 for 3. We're doing good, pretty good there. All right. The last holiday is Alaska Tallow Day.
What?
Have you ever heard of Alaska Tallow Day?
No.
Alaska Tallow Day honors Alaskan humor and is named for the Alaska Tallow, a fictitious animal that is a cross between a moose and a walrus. This is said to have been bred by miners during the Alaskan gold rush around the turn of the 12th century. The creature is believed to have come about in response to stupid questions by tourists. For instance, some tourists have asked where Alaskan penguins could be found. Alaskans have jokingly told tourists places to go to look for them. Of course, penguins do not live in Alaska. This is hence how the holiday got born. I think that is absolutely genius.
It's like snipe hunting here,
exactly.
But in Alaska.
Exactly. Or it's like cow tipping. It's perfect, right? It's like that is outstanding. For those that have any interest at all, in Dallas, by the way, on this day in 1980, so I guess it's 39 years ago, 78 million people watched the show Dallas to find out who shot JR. Do you know who shot him?
Bobby?
No. Starts with a K.
I don't know.
Kristen. Oh, my wife knew. That's not good. All right. And then finally, in this day in 1947, the very first hotel with a television set in it opened in New York City's Roosevelt Hotel. So those are some fascinating facts that nobody will ever remember, except the Alaskan holiday thing. That's pretty cool. I like that. All right. We are going to do trivia. We are going to do our expository. And I'm telling you right now, I am not worthy or worth what I'm going to share with you. The teaching that is going to come today, I hope for you, you feel about it the same way I do as I have studied it. It is so cool. It's all about Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to be talking about the mystery of the church and the beginning part and how Paul kind of looks at himself and how it affects us. It's really some fascinating stuff. But before we get there, we do want to make sure we have an opportunity to give people a chance to call in. Here we have a trivia question. Let's see if you can get this right. This should not be that difficult, but you are going to have to think about it. Who told Naaman in the Old Testament, who told Naaman to wash in the River Jordan 7 times in order to cure his leprosy? Who told him? Now, there's only really 2 answers, but you got to get the right one of the two, okay? There's only really 2 answers. 972-445-0770 is the phone number. 972-445-0770. Update on my grandson and namesake. They are supposed to be going home from the hospital today, so that is a good thing. He will be on some medicines, but the family definitely a little ragged from spending 6 days at the hospital. I mean, that's a long time. And having 2 kids at home and then having grandma have to fly in to watch the kids. A lot going on there. So keep my daughter and son-in-law and my grandchildren in prayer, because that's tough. I mean, that's a tough way to go through things when you're a young parent. So keep them in prayer. I'd appreciate that. Whoa, we already got a caller. All right, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Okay, so you're feeling pretty comfortable calling in on this question, I'm going to assume, and it's only 2 real players in this that you could come to. Who told Naaman to wash in the River Jordan 7 times in order to cure his leprosy?
Elijah.
That is correct. Now, let me make it differential for some people. There is Elisha and Elijah, and this is Elisha. So excellent job. I really appreciate that. That's good stuff right off the bat. You did excellent.
Thank you.
Okay. Is that the first time you called in?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I appreciate it greatly, and I hope you get a chance to listen more and call in more often.
Thanks. Okay. I look forward to hearing your wife talk.
Okay. Awesome. God bless.
God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Don't you love that? We got cool people. I like cool people. Cool people are cool. All right, let's get into this expository teaching. Now, I only have so much to set this up with, but I want to make sure that we get to it. It's some really just fascinating material. Let me read this. Oh, yeah, we got that.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
This is the quality radio program you expect from 770 KAAM right here. I keep forgetting that because it is such a bizarre sound, isn't it? I need to come up with something, right?
Yeah, you're the one that came up with that, so
no.
See, you find it bizarre.
Yeah, well, all right. I like expository teaching. This is the quality programming that you expect from us, and we expect you to appreciate those kind of sound clips. or not. Ephesians chapter 3, let's at least start the intro process. Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to do verses 1 through 6, although I'm going to show you something on verse 14 that's going to connect. Here's what it says. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Okay, then a pause. And that's really important because in the Greek, there's a spacing. Surely you have heard of the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has been being revealed by the Holy Spirit of God to the apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and share together in the promise in Christ Jesus. This is our text for today. A couple things I want to get you caught up on right away. When you're reading a letter, there's this tendency, I think you most people will acknowledge this, and I do this too, so there's nothing weird about it, but you'll read a chapter, you'll read verses, and you'll always kind of separate things in the verses, and you know, this is a segment here, this segment here. But you have to think about how it was back then. They didn't have verses, they didn't have chapters. These were letters that were written. Essentially, Ephesians is a letter that's written to the church at Ephesus. And in this letter, it's in fact verses 2 through 13 is one actual sentence, which is a long way of speaking without a pause. And in Paul, as he's writing this by the leading of the Holy Spirit, he starts off in verse 1. He goes, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you elect." And then he stops. And then for the next 11, 12 verses, he talks about something else. And then in verse 14, he comes back to that original thought. So when he says verse 1, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for the sake of Gentiles," and then he goes back and talks about something else. And then in verse 14, he picks it up again. "For this reason, I kneel before." So he has a pause of thought. And now he's going to share what that pause of thought is. And it's a fascinating element. He said, "Surely you've heard about my administration of God's grace that was given to me for you." So he starts off by saying, "Hey, I'm a prisoner of Christ Jesus." And then he goes, "Okay, well, I'm just assuming you guys know that God has given me this vocation in his kingdom, this mission in his kingdom, and he's given me his gift in his kingdom." And so he's rehashing what that is. And why I want to bring that up, it's really important, is to understand that when Paul goes, "Surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace," the administration of God's grace is Paul saying, "Surely you've heard about my stewardship and the gift that God has given me for you." You see, there's a stewardship that you and I have. And God, we're going to really dive into this in the next segment. But this stewardship has a lot to do with what God has placed into our lives, what God has placed into us as giftings, as blessings, as things that we are able to touch and attain to, and that those things were given to us for the sake of others. But Paul is like saying, "Surely you guys know at this point how passionate I am about this mission, about this administration of preaching the gospel, how it's so important to me, and how God has given me a gift in that." When he says administration of God's grace, that word grace is charis in the Greek, and it means a gift, God's gift. And he's talking about the gift that God has given him. And then he turns it on its head conversationally, which is what we're going to do when we come back. Ooh, see how it applies to you. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. I mean, this is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this: "Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand?
Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him. And he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route.
Amazing grace.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We just want to let you know, if you want to reach us by email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. You can go there and download the new app that we have for the show. I do want to reiterate for some of our newer listeners, when we say the Christian station, we're not saying nobody else is Christian. We know that's not. It's just an identifying mark. So we're not in too far deep into legalism. I hope not. My Baptist, Calminian, manifold millennialist background doesn't allow for a lot of that. Here we go. All right. We just found out and a wonderful job on finding out who it was that told Naaman to dunk himself in the Jordan 7 times. Now we have another question that's going to come right along next to it in the New Testament. So one's the Old Testament. Here we go with the New Testament. All you New Testament people, get your minds going. Remember, you can't Google it. You can look it up. I just don't want you to Google it. I want you to look for it if you don't know the answer. Who, there's the next one, who was in prison with Paul? Who was in prison with Paul in Philippi when they were singing and praising God, even though they were in jail, they were singing and praising God, and there was an earthquake. And there was an earthquake. Dave, looks like somebody's already calling. Maybe somebody's calling to say, you are too strange. But my wife, she's already here in the studio. I don't need anybody to call and tell me that. All right. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, this is Bobby Evans again.
Hey, Bobby. How are you, brother?
I'm doing great. Blessing the Lord.
All right. Tell me now, who was in prison with Paul in Philippi when they were singing and there was an earthquake?
Silas.
That is correct. You are correct, sir. It was Silas. So here's the great example. So here's these guys. They got tossed into prison, and the scripture's very clear to indicate that the other prisoners were listening to them, and they were praising and worshiping God and praying to God. They were an example of the power of faith to those who did not know Christ. And wherever we go, even if we don't realize it, even if it's in the worst place possible, we are beacons of light to those who have none.
Well, that's the power of praise. Well,
exactly
when
right.
Mature, you don't go through all the format. You can just praise God. It's power and praise.
That's right, brother. Good job. And a good answer on that. You were strong on that, and I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right. You have yourself a blessed day.
We are, and you too.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All right, Bobby coming in there. Good job on that one. Let's go into this text now. I want to go right back into Ephesians. Remember, expository teaching is it gets a little deeper. It gets a little more intense. It is for me anyway. So I want to go right back into this. I want to go to what Paul said in Ephesians 3, 1 and 2 and really dive into this. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Stop. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Paul is talking about the administration, that the stewardship, the oikonomia, that's called the oikonomia, the stewardship of God's grace, oikonomia de charis, the stewardship of God's grace that was given to him. But then he does something that's amazing. We're going to see what that actual gift was, but then he says, which was given to me for you. And this is where a big miss takes place. This is where we have some people that kind of just don't, they're kind of a swing and a miss. And this is what I'm talking about. The Lord has given you and I and every person in the church a place in the church. And I know people are thinking, no, I have no place in the church. There's nothing I can do. The first thing I'm going to tell you as a pastor who used to be a pastor of a church, I will just tell you this straight out. A person's presence in the church is a gift to the pastor. Okay? Now, if you've got a church of 5,000, it's not the same level, but it is for all those people in your small group. It's all those people you connect with. It's all the people you fellowship with. When my wife and I were in San Clemente, we went to a wonderful church called Heritage. It was a church. We would walk in the door. It was a bigger church. They had a couple of services, but it wasn't enormous, ginormous. I mean, there's some, you know, really, but it was pretty large church. We would walk in, and the first people that would always say hi to us, always shake, that we'd always sit around, were the people in the home group. And it was a blessing to see them, and it was a blessing for them to see us. Just even your presence is a gift that is necessary in the church. But let's take it to the real level that it's talking about. God has given you and I capacities that most of us don't even try and tap into or touch because, quite frankly, we don't want to fail the Lord, or we're afraid of doing something wrong or saying something wrong or processing something wrong. And most people don't do things because they're afraid of failing. Other people, by the way, do have a fear of success, which is a whole nother realm because it means they'll have to do it more. That's a separate issue. We'll talk about it some other time. Here's the bottom line. The gift that God has given you, whether it's a gift at intercession, whether it's a gift of your presence, whether it's a gift of serving, whether it's a gift of helping clean up the trash because you're a servant at heart and that's what you want to do, whether you help with the offering, whether you help just by praying in a circle with people, whether when they're praying up front for people at your church, you stretch out your hand and you're praying for them, whatever it is, I don't even care. Whether you're a person who speaks, whether you're a person who sits, whatever your position is, God didn't give you your place and God didn't give you your giftings for you. They are for others. And Paul's first statement in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 is, look, all this, the administration, the stewardship that God has given me, this grace, this gift, which we're going to examine in about two segments, that he gave me for you. And everything that God has given you is for others. Even the love God has given for you that he has for you is something that should spill over and touch somebody else. It's just a reality. And when we are so self-centered that we cannot think of others, we are absolutely not obeying the summation of the commandments is to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love our neighbors we love ourselves. Not that you should go around feeling guilty and banging your head. That's when you come before the Lord and you go, hey, I got to do that better. And you don't try and make it some fake religiosity. It's not churchianity. This is Christianity. It's Christ-centered relationship with God, advancing the kingdom of God, being a part of the ecclesia. And you being a part of the ecclesia, the called out of God from the world to be holy, separated from the world, that requires you and I to have more thoughts than just, it's about me, it's about me, it's about me, it's about me. I'm pretty sure in the movie with the little fish, what was the little fish movie? What was it? What is his name? Nemo. Finding Nemo. Was that it, right? Finding Nemo? You know,
Finding Nemo, Little Mermaid.
All those fish movies, right? Yeah. Do you remember when they were the little birds, though? They were like, me, 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 mine. And they were all looking for extra food. And they were all saying, mine. So if there's any food bubble, they wouldn't share it. Because it was theirs. We got to do better than that. Right? You got to have this attitude. It's like, nah, I gotta help others. I got to be thinking of others. I got to be thoughtful of others. You know, the mindset that's supposed to be in us is the same mindset that was in Jesus Christ, who, when he took on the form of servant, wasn't just thinking about himself, but he's thinking about others. And Paul goes, hey, this gift that was given to me, it's awesome, but it was given to me for you. And you might think, well, I don't know if I have very many opportunities to share any kind of gifting. Hey, I got a fabulous idea. It'll blow your mind. It'll change your life. Ready? Ask God. Watch it. Ask God. Lord, help me to use the gift you gave me more than I might bless other people. In Jesus' name. Bam. Now who's responsible? The Lord's responsible of working with you, to you, for you, through you, in you, and all of that to get you to that place, if you sincerely mean it. And you think, but that, well, that seems so simple, Dave. If you do teach it like this, you're going to have, you know, five words every show. Yeah, that's really would be the depth of it. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is God gave you the gifts, the gifts and the manifestation. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The manifestations of the Spirit are given for the common good. And you might be thinking, but I'm not there. I don't go. Get in a fellowship. Well, I don't like fellowship. The church is full of hypocrites. What's one more? Who cares? Go, because God will use you. And maybe you can go there and be that person who's not that way. And you can just be sincere and honest. And if you're having a hard time, be sincere and honest. Who cares? It's fine. But you got to have some fellowship. Loner Christianity never works. You know, I mean, I understand the lone wolf. I understand Lone Wolf McQuade. I like the movie. But you can't do that in Christianity, because the devil is not just like a cartel. The devil is a lion that will eat you alive if you're just there by yourself. You need fellowship of others. I've talked about this. Who was I talking to about this recently? I mean, just very recently. I have to think of who it was. But, you know, if you have one person and they have the Holy Spirit. Oh, I was with Deb and Mike Evans, come to think of it. It's like if he has a gallon of the Holy Spirit and she has a gallon of the Holy Spirit and I have a gallon of the Holy Spirit, put us together and there's 3 gallons of the Holy Spirit. That's more. Right. That's a good thing. So the bottom line is I want you to think about it in that way. And then we come back, what we're going to do is we're going to examine Paul's gift. His gift is pretty cool, and I think you'll get to see how he explains that in Ephesians. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Do you know how you keep going? Do you know how you keep putting one foot in front of the other? Do you know how you don't give up? Do you know how you don't quit even though you want to quit? You fix your eyes on Jesus. You see with God. When Peter went out of that boat and stepped on that water, there is no natural principle in the world, in any normal universe, that would allow Peter to walk on water. But he did one thing well. He looked at Jesus. And as he was looking at Jesus, the Bible says he walked on the water. He looked at his situation, just focusing at Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he saw the winds and the waves, and he sank. He lost the correct attitude when he stopped seeing with Jesus in the picture. Whatever you see, whatever you face, whatever you encounter, do not see it or face it in the natural. For we walk by faith and not by sight. So everything you see, you must insert the picture of Jesus.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. By the way, if you want some of the music that we have going on for the show for free, livinginhisgrip.com is a way to access that. Also, you can access the music if you want to hear, because my brother has some music on there. I think he's in Reverb Nation, which I don't know. It just sounds like there's an echo. It's a reverb. That's a joke. The echo, reverb. All right, forget it. I told you about the website. Don't forget about the app. The app is free. You can download it on your Android phone. I understand that more people have Apple than Android, or at least depending on who you talk to. The bottom line is I can't afford at this point to do an app phone, but we do have one for Android, so that's good. There is an app for the station on Apple that you can get. That's the KAAM 770 app. You're welcome to get that as well. All right, let's do another trivia. So far I think we've had, and I'll let Wonder Julie correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure we're right. We've had Lee and Bobby. Is that correct? Lee answered one question, then Bobby, right? Lee and Bobby.
I thought it was Grace.
Grace? Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right, well, if it's Grace or Lee, okay, so we're sorry. Okay, now my ears are bad, so you're probably more right than I am. I'm just saying. And we've had, so she answers, first time she called, we're messing up her name.
Right.
Let's just call her Wonderful. How about that? Wonderful answered, and Bobby answered. Now we're going to ask a third question. We want somebody else to call in and see if they can answer as well. This will not be all that difficult, but it is still nonetheless challenging for those that maybe are not as quite as familiar with Scripture. Here's what the question is. Somebody in the Old Testament, that's all I'm going to say, the Old Testament, first 10 books or shorter, said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Who said that? So we've heard from Bobby, and we've heard from Wonderful. So if we got your name wrong, Grace or Lee, we're sorry. But now we want to ask you this: the next question for the next person, 972-445-0770. Who said in the Bible, in the Old Testament, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord"? Okay? I knew I was not going to get 5 seconds before somebody called to answer this question. I knew that was coming. Because it's like, that's such a great, I have that plaque, or we said, boop, they got disconnected. Sorry. All right, here we go. So let's go into our text, our Ephesians text. We just talked about the gifts, and the gifts that that Paul was mentioning, he was talking about in a fantastic manner. He said, hey, this was given to me for you, for your sake. All right? Then he says this in verse 3. That is, comma, the mystery made known to me by revelation. I have already written briefly, and in reading this, you will be able to understand my insights into the mystery of Christ. Paul had an amazing gift. Do you know what his amazing gift was? His gift, he explains to us, is understanding the mysteries of God and explaining them. The reason that Paul wrote as much as he wrote, the reason that God chose him as a vessel, you think, well, it's because, you know, he was studying to be a Pharisee. There he was studying to this. He had a lot of knowledge. Nah, that's not it. There was people that are a lot smarter and a lot more capable. He had an ability to communicate truth in a way that people could grasp it. That's his gift. Okay, let's go to the phones. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Julia.
Hi, Julia. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I want to thank you for calling into the show, and I feel confident you're going to get this one way or another, so I'm excited. Ready? Here's the question. Who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord?
Joshua?
That is correct, ma'am. You are a winner. That is right. So here's the deal. See, he was getting ready. He was getting older. You're talking about Joshua 24. It's getting further on. And he told them, he said, I don't know what you're all going to do. I don't know how it's going to go down. I don't know how the future is going to break down. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. It's quite unfortunate that it was just one generation later that they forgot about serving the Lord, and that's how we got into Judges, and that's how we got into a lot of disasters. But that was an excellent answer. Did you know that, or did you have to look it up?
No, I did know it.
Okay.
I like that verse a lot.
Okay.
It helped me a lot.
Excellent job. I want to let you know how much I appreciate you calling in and sharing that with us. You did fantastic.
Well, thank you for your show. I really like it.
Oh, I appreciate that, too, as well. I really do. It's a real blessing to hear that. God bless you.
God bless you, too, brother.
Okay, bye-bye. All right. See, that's good. She liked the show. That's a good thing. Here's what I want to go back to this thing with Paul. I want you to catch this, because sometimes you read Scripture, and we read so fast that we miss some of the cool little things. You know, like sometimes you know what I'm saying? And there's so much great stuff in there. So listen to what he says again. I want to go over it again and then just kind of give this grasp on it as best we can. Verse 3, he's talking about his gift, the administration of his gift that was given to him for the sake of you and I, for the sake of the church. And then he explains it in verse 3. The mystery that was made known to me by revelation, I've already written briefly. In reading this, then you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. He's telling people, you know what my gift is? I get it. I get it, and I can tell you all about it. He even goes on further, just so you can know, and I'll probably skip ahead on some of this, but which was not made known to men in other generations as it has now been revealed by the Spirit. Really takes the Holy Spirit to get some of the deeper insights and connections, unless God has given you great manifestation. But keep in mind, Paul's position was not just to understand it, it was to explain it. So it's not just a matter of hearing it and processing it. It's a matter of communicating it in such a way as for people to get a clearer understanding of what it is that God is trying to say. And then what he says, he's pretty straightforward. He goes, it has now been revealed by the Spirit. You know, it's a revelation given in the New Testament times by the Spirit. And then he says, by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. He tells you other people have this gift. He's not unaware that there's Luke. He's not unaware that the Apostle John is there. The Apostle John wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Revelation, right? He's a writer, right? And the oldest living apostle that there was. He got it. He had a gift of communicating it, although when John gave you a perspective, you knew it was different. That's why his gospel, John, is different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. His perspective, he just saw Jesus in this very royal element, always thought of him as the Son of God first before anything else, whereas Matthew sees him as the Messiah, Luke sees him as a servant, and Matthew as the Messiah, And then Mark sees him as a servant and Luke as the Son of Man. When you look at John's viewpoint of the gospel, it's the Son of God. It's like he's just got this royalty element going to it. And that's why he's probably chosen to write Revelation. These people have a gift. And it's not just Paul's gift. It's all of these people in taking the truth of God and putting it together in such a way as to bless, encourage, strengthen, guide, direct, chastise, and other people in the kingdom of God towards the Lord. Sometimes you and I need to pick up the word, and sometimes you need to get hit in the head by that spiritual 2x4. It's good for you. I didn't say you liked it. I just think some people just need, every once in a while, you need the Lord to go, hey, knock that off. And you're like, oh, okay. Because you know better. But these people had these gifts. And these gifts are what have blessed you and I for thousands, listen to this, for 2,000 years, God, using Paul and his gift, has blessed people in the church. How cool is that? How would you like to find out, you know, I don't think it's going to be 2,000 years before the Lord comes back. I'm pretty confident the way things are going, it might not be 2 weeks the way things seem to be happening. But the bottom line is, how would you like to be aware that the gift that God has given you that you're willing to use, that you're offering and presenting yourself to the Lord for, is something that has such an impact that it just makes ripples into the economy of humanity forever? Wow, that is cool. That's cool. I'm going to give you an example. Okay, it's a little arrogant, so I'm confessing that it's arrogant, but I'm telling you ahead of time, so that makes it half arrogant. All right? So my brother writes music. He's a great musician, does a great job. Well, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, I wrote a song. Now, I'm much better at teaching, but not as good at songwriting. So he took the words and put it to music and recorded it and so on and so forth. Well, about 3 or 2 years ago, this group called Teen Challenge, that's out of Arizona, they actually, this is 2 years ago, you're talking about a 26, 27 year difference from when the song was written. They took the song and used it as their theme song for their campaign in 2017. There's no money or anything. It was just, but to hear that they used something that we did almost 30 years ago and used it for a campaign, I was spiritually as high as could be. It was like, thank you very much. Because it's cool. And the whole point is just to present yourself and be available and be able to be used by the Lord. Really what it comes down to is if you really want to be a person that is active in any form of gifts, be they serving or gifts of manifestation or whatever, it really comes down to being presenting yourself to the Lord and being willing. Most of the difficulty comes from people that are so self-centered they couldn't think about other people, and that's why the gifts don't operate through them. Because the purpose of the gifts is to bless others. And I think that's a great way to do it. In fact, it's not unusual, but for those that get into the science of any of it, you have something in your brain that when you give sacrificially, it pops something in your brain and you get a more endorphin rush than you get in any other form of giving, this sacrificial giving. And don't you just know that's how God created people? To give sacrificially and then you find the highest level of euphoria? I don't know. You think that was set up by the Lord? Sounds like it to me. That's all I'm going to say. We come back. We're going to look at the fantastic revelation that Paul talks about. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 2 on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place, solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me. Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. You want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. I want to say that Grace/Lee/wonderful, you have to email me because my wife really wants to know what your name is. You got to email davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And I apologize that I did not hear that more clearly. I would say it's just my age, but I think it's just part of my brain leaking out of my head. Here is something to be aware of. Tomorrow we have Clint coming in, and he's going to be coming in with Mo. And Mo is a representative of the Adaptive Training Foundation or organization. So they're going to come in and talk, and this is going to be fascinating and intense. And I really want you to participate and listen. I think it's just going to really bless you to hear what they're doing and see how we can all connect. Even if you join something simply through prayer, in Romans chapter 15, verse 30, Paul said, join me by praying for me. And it's essentially, people don't realize that by praying for something and committing to that prayer time, you join it. And so I would encourage you to be a participant in those kind of things. And you don't do it with every single thing you come across, but the things that the Lord brings into your life that touch and connect to you, you should be doing it with those things. All right. So we're going to have that on Monday. And then Johnny Hill will be in on, I don't know if he's going to be back in on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. I got to talk to him and see what's going on. I will find out in the next day or so. Let's finish up on Ephesians expository teaching on a Thursday. It's almost a miracle because it's actually Thursday, and we're doing expository teaching on a Thursday for Expository Thursday. Things are just amazing. We have been talking about the Apostle Paul, talking about him, sharing about the administration of God's grace and how that was given to him for our sake. So it's something that we need to be aware of, that things that God gives us are for other people's sake. And then we got into the depth of what his particular charis or gift was, and that's making the mystery known that was given to him by revelation, making an understanding, creating an understanding in regarding the insights to the mystery of Christ, which is just fantastic. And understanding there's other people that have that same gift, but his gift was extraordinary. And it is revealed to us by the Spirit of God. It's been through the apostles, through the prophets that this has come about. And Paul does a summation statement. he's talking about this, and he's kind of going to put it in a nutshell. So, you know, did you ever go to high school or college, and they're like, give me a summary, you know, and on 200 words or less, in two sentences or less. And they used to teach in English class, you've got two sentences or 20 words. If you can't figure it out by then to connect to somebody, then you've lost them. I don't know if that's true, but it does make sense that there's summaries that take place on a regular basis in Scripture. And Paul does a summary to what this whole mystery is, and he tells you straight out. It's amazing. He says this in verse 6. He said, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and they share together in the promise in Christ Jesus. This statement is not as eschatological as everybody would try and like to make it. This is more of the unity factor of in the time of Jesus Christ, and especially in time of the first century and up to the birth of Christ, huge, huge tension between Jews and Gentiles, just enormous. So now that Jesus Christ has come and has died on that cross and was buried and 3 days later rose again, now that there's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 and then the outpouring in Acts chapter 10 and recap in 11 where the Gentiles have that going on, now you have Jews and Gentiles both in the vein of the blood of Christ with the same Heavenly Father, drinking of the same Holy Spirit. And Paul says, you know, this big mystery is kind of wrapped together in this, that this is no longer a life of separation between Jew and Gentile, but one new man, Christian, making the one new man. And the idea is that we are together in one body, sharing together in the promise that's in Christ. And so he says, this is what it is. This is the nutshell. This is all in Jesus Christ that we're together. And in fact, Scripture goes on to say, and we'll say later on in this text, that we have access to the Father by one Spirit through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. We all have that. And I will tell you this, and this is going to rub some people the wrong way, and I understand it, but I'm telling you from a biblical principle point of view, not a cultural point of view. What has happened in many countries and a lot of different places is they'll say, well, you know, when people come into a country, they shouldn't forsake their culture. They should bring it in, and it should become part of the larger mix. I don't actually have a problem with that. Unless you try and take that very same element and put that into the kingdom of God. The reason why that's different is because in the kingdom of God, you and me, Jew, I'm Jewish if you haven't figured that out and listening to the show yet, born and raised Jewish, became a Christian, Jew, Gentile, everybody, we are all nothing before God. We are dead at the cross. You don't bring anything in except yourself. You take nothing. If God wants to use your culture, that's fine. But you bring nothing into the kingdom that God doesn't allow or promote. And the idea that the worldly element of being culturally inclusive should be directly attributed to the church is insanity, since in order to live, you have to die. You're not bringing nothing in. You're lucky you're crawling across there as a corpse, to be quite honest. You're lucky you have a breath. And in fact, to get to the kingdom, what do you have to do but call Jesus Christ Lord? Hey, guess what? If somebody else is Lord, you don't tell them what you're bringing in. You just come. It's not an issue. And this is not to be begrudging of any culture, any poop, anywhere. Anyway, I'm not saying that in any capacity. What I'm saying is if we're talking about a biblical kingdom, no flesh glories before his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. We all bow at the knee and yield and confess Jesus Christ is Lord. That's where it starts. And anything else the Lord wants to add after that's up to him. And why I'm saying that is because it's not like I don't come into this faith with a culture. It's not like I think, well, everything the Jewish people ever did is bad. I don't think that. I think that my people are fantastic, did a great job. Abraham was the greatest. He argued and bargained with God. I love it. It's fantastic. 50 righteous people, 45, 40. I mean, he was great. He's my hero, right? Although he did a lot of things wrong that people won't talk about. He's still my hero. The point is when you come to the cross, you die. And you surrender. And you say, okay, you.
You, your way, your system. Now, it's fantastic that God does use those things, but you don't bring it in there with that sense of, I've got pride. You know, we have a movement going on right now in America and throughout the world. I've got pride. I've got pride. I can do what I want. I've got pride. That's the pretty much the thing that sets Satan apart permanently. Isn't that fantastic? They're also proud. They're prideful. That's fantastic. Wrong pride. It's one thing to be proud through the Lord. It's another thing to be proud despite the Lord. You see what I'm saying? There's a big difference. So everything we have is tempered and yielded and surrendered. And we are heirs together, members of one another. And what's fabulous about it is that we're not just, and it said this earlier in the text in the end of chapter 2, it's not that we're just common citizens. We are members together. Now, you have to understand what that means. If you ever had Play-Doh, did you ever play Play-Doh? And you took Play-Doh, and you took one piece from here, and you took another piece from here, and you'd put it together, and you'd have different color Play-Doh. Wonder, Julie, did you ever have Play-Doh? I mean, come on. You had
it. I had Play-Doh, but I didn't like to mix.
Okay.
It's kind of like food touching.
Okay. Well, I'm a mixer. So you just kind of like put it all together. But in the kingdom of God, it's like you put it all together and boom, there it is. It's like it's all like we've been squished together. And then God is sculpting what we're going to be, right? Ask my wife. She'll tell you it's one of the worst things I've ever done. So every once in a while, I get in this really weird mood. Not the weird mood part. And then we'll cook something, and you can just ask her. Anybody in the world can ask her. And I will take 15 different sauces and throw them in one thing and just think something's got to come of this.
Yeah, it's called heartburn.
Yeah, well, that's besides the point. And I always put in a lot of sugar. I do, but it's like, I don't know what's good. I just throw in all these weird sauces, stuff I would never, ever use, either independently or probably with something. But if I put it in the big mix, it is what it is. Huh? Oh, I put them in eggs. It's so weird. She's got her finger down her throat, just in case you're wondering what's going on. She's right here talking to me. Here's the bottom line. That's what the Lord mixes us all together. Somehow it comes out as to a perfect blend. Like, cool. But it's all mixed in with the blood of Jesus Christ, right? That's the key. All right, folks. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity then.
Just as I am, the views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.